Hi everyone, and welcome to what should be quite a short episode 366 of Mighty White's podcast. I'm Jack, as always, joined by Casey.
Afternoon.
Yeah, basically we can't do all those end of season looking at us predictions because there's still some things hasn't happened yet. But the football season is finished. And the Leeds game finished with, I think it's fair to say, a whimper.
Yeah, I think the fact that Buonanotte got on the field tells you how seriously we were taking that game by the second half.
You just wait. He's going to be our key man next year when we sign him permanently.
He's going to be our Buendia, is he?
Yeah. it was a bit of an odd game because Spurs went in front early. I'd say early. Early's not true. It was like 35, 40 minutes, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But they got in front, and even though we weren't watching that game, every single time I opened Twitter or looked it up like that, it was Everton are barely even here. Which meant that our game with West Ham didn't matter. And it looked as if, after what was a pretty decent first half, where I would say we were the better side and missed a couple of really good chances, we came out in the second half, and I think it's the first time since we secured our status in this league, I could say we looked peachy.
Yeah, it was. I think first half we started very brightly. I think first sort of 5-10 minutes.
Yeah.
We had a couple of openings. I'll circle back to Brendan Aaronson's performance and not to single anyone out, but I'm very much going to single him out.
Yeah.
But you know, there was a couple of openings there that we probably should have done a bit better with and a couple of chances, but
yeah.
Yeah, and then West Ham had a bit of a spell where it was mostly blocked shots, I would say. Like, there wasn't anything that Darlow was really tested for. But they had a couple of chances. And then I think we got back on top for the most part.
Yeah, like, because there was so little on this game, memory of it isn't that strong. Like, the main one I remember was missing is that really nice bit of footwork from Metcher. And he squares it to Calvert-Lewin 8 yards out, middle of goal. And if he lifts it, it's a goal. But he just sort of scuffs it along the floor and Hermanson saves it. There was also one where they sort of gifted it a bit to James Justin in the box and he scuffed it to Metcher, who also couldn't react in time and
sort of wide.
Scuffed it almost out for a throw-in. But yeah, it wasn't. Then when the second half came in, it was fairly normal until they scored, which is, what, like 65 minutes-ish. And they just Castellanos header from Bowen corner. And, like, we just... I couldn't say the marking was poor because that had required having to do some. We just sort of left them to it.
Yeah, I think as you watch it, it's Joe Roden that's with Castellanos and Joe Roden just seemingly doesn't get off the floor.
Yeah.
But... They'd also seen the error of their ways at halftime and taken, was it Pablo that had come off at halftime?
Yeah, Pablo off for Callum Wilson. And Pablo is so shit that I never slag off a player before the game starts or until he's got subbed. Even when it was Paul Onuachu for Southampton. The second he got subbed, everyone in the stadium looks around at each other and goes, he's one of the worst fucking Premier League players I've ever seen in my life. But no one wanted to say up before that. She's like, no, he's going to score one. No, Pablo, everyone was like, this guy's shite. Just the whole time. And then he got subbed at halftime. And he's not even like one of them where I'm going, yeah, but he'll drop down a level and find his level. And then maybe get some confidence. I wouldn't even back him for that. Like, he just does. They just want to try and get shut of him. And if you make a loss on him, deal with it.
Yeah, I think because one of the things I think we spoke about with the first half as well is that it got brought up, and I think watching Match of the Day was the same, that they didn't look like a team that had to win, but I think I rationalised it as they can't go for it too, they're not good enough to go for it too much and just say, right, well, we've got three centre-backs on. Yeah. That they'll have to mop up anything like it. While ever it was 0-0 in the Everton Spurs game, they had to sort of manage the game a little bit.
Yeah. Well, Nuno is quite pragmatic and for stuff like that. He's very defence first. And he will have been terrified of going 1-0 down.
Yeah.
And they probably still should have done. But yeah, he will have. Like, I personally, if I was in that situation, I'd really want to go for it. And he did go to a back four instead of the back five. So he did go a little bit more attacking, but they didn't press us really, did they? And they didn't. They were quite passive throughout that first half.
Yeah, and out, we seemed to have a lot of space in the first half out wide.
Yeah.
So it allowed the fullbacks to get forward.
I would say not just out wide, like people receiving the ball, not actual middle of the pitch, but sort of the wide 10 places. Because, like, as much as he didn't do anything with it, Aronson got loads of room. Like, there was a few times where there was one where he was in behind and checked back and did nothing. And then there was a few where he had time to really go at him and he checked back and did nothing. And then a couple of times where he had a pass on and instead had a poor shot. But the space that he had would be worrying.
If it was anyone else.
If it mattered.
I think one thing we need to discuss, and I think this could be the defining moment of the game. So Leeds win a free kick, edge of the penalty area, what, 20, 25 yards out?
Yeah.
And we both sort of sit there and go, I don't think he's going to take this then. My theory
was that I genuinely think the best person to take that in our team, given the players we had on the pitch at the time, genuinely might have been James Justin.
I thought Tanaka has had a couple of free kicks. He takes set pieces.
Mitchell must be able to strike a decent ball. Like, I've seen him score from outside the box.
Well, the moment I saw Brendan Aronson holding the ball and putting it down, I thought, you don't give it to someone like Brendan Aronson to like fake out and then someone else takes it. It's not a penalty. So he's actually going to take this. And he promptly just hits it into the wall.
Not just the wall. It was like the legs of the wall.
It was Mikulik-esque of just, what are you doing?
I could make an argument that wasn't even the worst effort that he had in that bit. The ball comes back to him off the wall. And the, like, it barely gets to the goal line. he didn't have his best day. Now, he has, you know, said it all the way through. He has been better this season than I expected. Because of that run of a couple of months where he genuinely did play quite well. But depending on who leaves, I was going to say it's like one of the number one areas for improvement. But as we might not have basically any goalkeepers at this rate, and we might not have any centre backs, and we already only have one left back, and like, so yeah, there might be a few things need doing, and it doesn't sound like there's going to be a ton of money to spend from what Parag's statement said.
Yeah, filled you with confidence, that did it.
I mean, it was about what I expected, to be honest. We were pushing the limits when we were in the Championship, and then we spent 100 million last summer. So, like, I would expect us to be up against the limits again. And it's this season where it changes to the squad cost stuff, doesn't it? So, what is it? We can spend 85% of our income on players and wages.
Yeah, something like that. I mean, every good Football Manager player knows you can get that down to 30 quite comfortably.
Yeah, because all you have to do is just find every wonder kid out of Mexico and Serbia, especially Serbia.
Brighton's got a lock on South America, so you've got to look elsewhere.
Yeah. On mine, it's Bayern Munich that always get to the Ecuadorian kid first. I don't know if they've got an actual like agreement with Independiente Del Valle, but yeah. But it seems like they do. The second half performance was a level of shit that if it had been a month ago, I'd be furious.
Oh, yeah. It was dire.
But considering
that we had Bogle back, we had Strout back in the team. Obviously, Stack was missing.
We
did miss Stack. Although he did they say he did? He had trained.
No, but he hadn't trained. But he's but he'd only be out for like 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah.
So basically, if they had picked him for the World Cup, he would have been fit.
Yeah. And then The only thing was that essentially we went to Metcher comes in to the team for Stack and Aronson goes to the right. Metcher
nominally
sort of plays off the left. So it wasn't like it was probably a better team than we put out against Brighton.
I mean, certainly, on paper,
certainly the sort of
the defenses.
Yeah. So yeah, it was. I'd but like you say, whether it was just a case of they found out the score at Spurs as well, and sort of both, like Leeds have seen that and gone, ah, well, that's the end of that then.
West Ham
have seen that and thought, well, we need to get something here.
I think it was just one of them where when they get the goal, because at that point the game is still pretty even and everything, and that like kick up the arse that you get to really fight and get back into the game, because there was nothing on it, I just don't think it was there.
Yeah.
At the end of a long season because it was all, you know, really hot and all that. So I just think they didn't have it.
Yeah. So we dipped into the subs.
Yeah, I've got them here in order. We had a Nonto for Calvert-Lewin and James for Biol as we go to a back four-ish. Because it went a bit all over the place here. Yeah, and then you've got Peru for Tanaka and Buonanotte for Bogle. Which is, we're very much in fuck it territory
yeah.
at that point. And then very late on, Bornau for Aronson, which was a really odd one. And genuinely, you know, if you're gonna do that for no real reason, either let it be Byron and let him have another game or stick one of the kids on.
Yeah, stick a child on for let him have a debut. Just give him a go. But
yeah. The game was shite, but it's been a very good season.
What was the second goal?
The second goal was where we give the ball away really cheaply. I think it was Ampadu, and they play Bowen through. Right-footed, low across the keeper.
Okay, right. So I can't remember the third goal then. I remember Bowen's goal.
Yeah, the third goal is the Callum Wilson one.
Oh, yeah, it's actually quite a good strike.
Yeah, for one from the edge of a box that like sort of catches it outside of his foot and it swerves like fuck.
Yeah, that was a really good finish. That.
Yeah.
It felt like with the Bowen goal that ball being given away, this party just like, if this had been a month ago, we'd have got out to him a lot quicker.
Yeah, it happens sometimes at the end of a season, but you know, 14th in the league. It's a shame because it could have been 12th if we get a result there. One, that just looks better on paper. And two, it's an extra, what, 6 million quid?
And Parag doesn't have... Parag can be a little bit happier.
Yeah. Obviously, elsewhere, Spurs beat Everton. So West Ham go down anyway. If anyone hasn't seen it, it's worth watching Lewis Dayton's video from the away end. This one, because... I mean, you know, you heard it on the broadcast. We're only here to take the piss very early on. And it very much carried on in that vein for the rest of the game. I did say, like, nice getting to hear the videos because Graham tweets Smith's. Yep. His tweets went out where he was just going through them all the way. It's where, you know, Millwall away, ole ole, Lincoln away, ole ole, etc. There's plenty of that. It's quite a fun watch. Watching Leeds get beat 3-0 and the away end barely noticing.
Yeah, I mean, since we said, because that's the sort of, since we were assured safety, this is the second game we've watched at the pub together. And both those games have just been like, what are you going to do?
They score and go, At least Matisse Tell had the like kindness to score quite a good goal.
Yeah.
So we could go, oh, that's a good finish.
Yeah.
We couldn't really say that with the free header from a corner.
No, it was more just, that's poor defending.
Yeah. Elsewhere, Liverpool didn't win and Villa did beat Man City, keeping them fourth. Therefore, instead of the extra Champions League place for Villa winning the Europa League, going to sixth in the Premier League. It went to the highest coefficient team that would have been in the Europa League, which I'm led to believe was Sporting Club de Portugal. Because they hate being called Sporting Lisbon because it's not their name. So, only the five teams in the Champions League, which is probably too many, but...
I'd argue it's far too many, given it's called Champions, but sure.
But I absolutely reserve the right to change my mind about that if we ever get there.
So, and then there's nothing else now changes based on the Conference League.
If Palace are currently out of Europe, if they win the Conference League, win the Europa League next year.
Okay. Does that affect anyone else?
I don't think it affects anyone else. It's just an additional one. Like that slot, I believe, is just held for whoever does it. And the only way it could get weird with that is, I think, if a team won the Conference League and also qualified for like the Champions League. Because then they wouldn't take up their Europa League spot, so that spot would have to go somewhere else.
Yeah. Apropos of nothing, Jack, just answer me this question. Where did Chelsea finish?
Chelsea finished in a gentleman's 10th. Having genuinely, I didn't even watch match of the day. They got beat 2-1 at Sunderland, didn't they? Which meant Brentford in 9th, Brighton get into the Conference League in 8th, because they... What did they do on the final day?
We don't remember.
They got beat 3-0 at home by Scum. Yeah. Which we'll come back to in a second. But the genuine, and this is not said with any, the genuine biggest well done is to Sunderland.
Yeah, fair play to them.
Seventh place, qualifying for the Europa League. You know, like Hull have had like statistically one of the weirdest promotions ever?
Mm.
Well, Sunderland have sort of done a similar thing. But this isn't you're so lucky. They've got, in the really tight games where they didn't really deserve to win, they've managed to make one.
Mm.
Which is, you know, it's well done. They've managed to get it. And the fact that they've got into Europe, I think it's the first newly promoted team to get into Europe since Nuno's Wolves.
I was really hoping for Josh Burley's Ipswich there.
Yeah, that was my first thought, but it turns out but that Wolves team is the one that like had basically a team ready for Europe in the Championship.
Well, wasn't that half like a decent chunk of the Portugal squad playing in the Championship?
Yeah, they signed 19-year-old Porto captain Ruben Neves in the Championship, and then he came up with them, and then they signed Moutinho and everyone like that. But yeah, I mean that's really good going for them. There is always a chance that this might not be the best thing for them, playing all those extra games and stuff like that, but that's one of them where it depends what they do in the summer.
Yeah, I mean there's certainly, and I think it's been said quite a few places about Michael Carrick taking over at Scum, and obviously it's very different from them playing a 40 game season
they got knocked out in the first available round of the FA Cup and the League Cup, and that's the only non-Premier League games they've played.
So yeah, to go from that to, you know, you're adding, was it 8 group games? And in certain instances, so all of a sudden that's now your minimum number of games.
And Scum are going to get through. Like, at least, they might not finish in the top 8, but they'll at least they'll be in the top 24.
Yeah.
It's basically impossible not to as a Premier League club. And it'll be the same for Sunderland in the Europa League. They will get through.
Yeah.
Because the Premier League's so much stronger than everywhere else.
Yeah. But then, and then you're sort of hoping to finish in the top 8, because otherwise, then you've got an additional round to that as well. With the Europe anyway, with the playoff round. In terms of how we're looking at it, it's purely a case of, right, lads, we had a cup run last year, let's fuck that off this year. 40 games.
Yeah, we'll have to see how we do. I mean, I bet it's very rare that a team has come as high as 7th with a -6 goal difference.
We were looking at that afterwards, weren't we? Where we just look at the goal difference of the teams around them, and it's mad.
But again, it's just because those tight games, they've managed to have managed to get the result.
I think kind of when I looked at the league table afterwards, I think the one you'd probably say is outside of Chelsea, who have obviously had the most disappointing season of.
And they genuinely, they won't be that pissed off with that, because that's probably better for them than being in the Conference League would have been.
Yeah.
But it makes Xabi Alonso's first year there a lot less complicated.
Mm.
Probably means they have to bum out more players.
Yeah. But the ones I was thinking of more at this point is Brentford. Because obviously they looked... I mean, at one point they looked like they could have been getting Champions League football.
Yeah.
And now they have missed out on Europe altogether. Mm. If I was a caring person, I'd say you'd have to feel for them. You would look at that and say that is a team that were very difficult to beat for most of the season, who clearly fell off towards the end.
Yeah. Sorry, Casey. I have just realised I've given you an unfair minus 10.
Oh.
Because you... obviously, we're doing the prediction stuff later, but I gave you minus 10 for Brentford getting relegated because you deserve it. But but they finished 9th and you had them 18th. That is not 10 places wrong.
So, yeah, I think they'll have been disappointed with the way they finished the season if you've only won one out of your last five there.
Yeah.
And missed out on so they've ended up missing out by 3 goals and were a point behind Sunderland.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's been an interesting, because you look at, obviously, it's sort of Chelsea and Scum have kind of sorted their managerial situation for next season, but
yeah,
I think there'll be a lot looking now at one, how Bournemouth do under their new manager, having done as well as they had this year.
Like, there's no way, surely, that Marco Rosa can do as well as Iraola. Unless, I suppose, the one thing is, just looking at everyone they've sold, they must have a load of money to spend.
Yeah, I mean, we went through this earlier, didn't we? But so they've already... Like, Senesi's off as well, isn't he? He's going to Spurs.
Yeah, he's off to Spurs by all accounts. As is Andy Robertson.
So, they'll be an interesting one to see going through, because it could be a lot of turnover for them this summer. Newcastle, I'll be amazed if Eddie Howe is there at the start of next season.
Yeah, but the current noises are that he will be. But, like, still no one's hired Iraola.
Mm.
And you'd think that would be the move.
This is just a number of mid-table teams all sort of looking at each other going.
Yeah, obviously, Glasner is leaving Palace. Marco Silva hasn't signed a new deal at Fulham, so I'm assuming he's going as well, because his contract's up.
Yeah. Fulham's an interesting one, because I know they're sort of attack line has been propped up a lot this season by Harry Wilson, who was very nearly sold to us.
Yeah, who they didn't particularly want. Like, they were more than up for selling him. We just couldn't get the fees together until the last minute when they changed their mind a bit.
Yeah.
And again, contract up.
So it's good. I do think it's going to be quite an interesting sort of mid-table next year.
A lot of turnover. And obviously we'll be linked to everyone, but I think this summer's going to be weird, because I think it'll be quite quiet early on, just because it always is in a World Cup year.
Yeah.
You very often end up with a lot of deals happening quite late, because it's not just the players that are away, there's a lot of agents away all over at the World Cup, especially the big ones.
Handful of managers are also
got
punditing at the World Cup.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting to see what happens. But, like, we say every time...
A number of foreign players being detained at the World Cup.
Every team needs to step forward, because we've seen what happens when you stand still in this league. It is far too early to see what the newly promoted teams are going to be, because Sunderland have shown if you buy well and you're solid enough at the back, you can really do something. Like, I do think it's going to be a bridge too far for Hull, because their team, I know XG tables aren't everything, but they were 23rd. Like, they ran hot, finished well. That Panda in goal had an unbelievable season. I don't know if you're going to get all of that again when you've also stepped up a level. You're going to need some really good players. Although, maybe that owner can go get the cream of the Turkish league, and maybe there'll be a couple of superstars in it.
Yeah. It'll be interesting, because, like you say, Hull, I think the issue they'll always have is the pulling power as well. Mm. Ipswich were sort of that classic, certainly last time they were up, that too good for the Championship, not good enough for the Premier League.
A second half of the season, what I saw with Ipswich, I'm certainly not ruling them out from staying up. They look a good side. I know they had the awful start, but I really thought they were going to win the Championship last season. I thought their squad was unbelievable for the Championship. And it's still pretty good.
And then he's hoping that Frank Lampard is so bad he gets sacked in like September, early October, and then someone competent takes over and keeps Coventry.
No, I hope he keeps the job all year and they get 4 points. That's what I hope. I don't know what to think of Cov, because it depends who they're going to... Like, they're going to have to sign a lot of players. Mm. As good as they were in the Championship, they haven't got a squad full of players that'll make the step up. They've got a few, but...
Does this mean Liam Kitching's a Premier League player?
Yes, it does.
Oh, good lad. Well done.
Yeah, well done, Liam Kitching. What was it? It was that picture of from, like, I don't know, Leeds' under-9s or something. And it was him and that Latabodia that came through at Man City. But apparently was at Leeds when he was a very young kid. And he posted a picture of them both at like 8 years old going, "We've come a long way, mate." And I was like, Jesus, that's very nice to see.
Yeah.
two people who were friends as literal children getting promoted to the Premier League together. If you had any other manager, I'd be really pleased for you. but yeah, like, as of right this second, which is far too early to say anything, I am more confident about next season than I was this season.
Yeah, I think the way I look at it is that the ownership were certainly, I mean, they were partially involved in the last time when we didn't invest in the team.
And Farker keeps specifically mentioning that.
So I think they know what will need to be done. I think the only downside to it means, whereas last time we stayed up and there were no, in that second season anyway, there were no big sales to generate any funds. You'd think there's probably going to be either a few squad players are going to be sold to add to that, or there's going to be a big sale if an offer comes in.
Yeah, we have to get better at player trading, because that second season we didn't really sell anyone of note, did we? Those came the year after.
Yeah.
With Rafinha and
Calvary. Where we already had a shit squad.
Yeah. A shit squad that half of which is qualified for the Champions League this year.
Well.
I'm not saying it wasn't a shit squad. It's just how the world works.
I bear no ill will to Mark Rocker in all this. He's the one I look at when you were just a terribly chosen signing.
Yeah. Signing the player that can't run to be in the Premier League. Never works.
To be in a high-pressing team.
Yeah, it never works. But I don't think any of the newly promoted teams are going to come up and be ridiculously strong. I think if I was going to pick one of them, it'd be Ipswich. And then you're looking at, you don't know what's going to happen with Palace. I think they're going to win the Conference League, so they are going to have Europe to contend with as well, which will make it more difficult for them. You don't know what's going to happen. You never know what's going to happen at Forest. I know he's just signed a new contract last week.
That's day by day.
But you never know what's going to happen there. I think Newcastle will get better because they don't have Europe. And they may have a new manager. Fulham, again, depends who they get in. So I think there's a lot, there's more question marks this time. The only one that I'm like certain is going to improve is Spurs, because they will have players.
You'd be concerned
back
if they didn't.
And I know that De Zerbi can be he's a bit of a prick in many ways, but he's a very good coach.
Mm. Did you hear him speak about Archie Gray, by the way?
No.
I described him as a potential future captain of Spurs. Well,
in fairness, the fans have been saying that all season, seeing as he was the only one that gave a shit for about 6 months.
Because I think there was the fair question of... They basically asked him about Archie Gray, I think under the pretense of, since you've been here, he's been on the bench,
yeah,
where he was playing every week before. But he spoke very highly of him. The way I interpreted it was that I think they want to work with Archie Gray and nail down his position in the team, and then build on that. Whereas he has spent 2 years, which, yep, centre back, right back, holding mid, like whatever, just go plug a gap, will you? Go do it and go look good while being 19 or whatever you are.
The dream is dead, because that was another thing. If they went down, I was like, maybe we could get him back.
Two Greys in the team.
Well, I mean, Harry's not playing.
But if
he's going out on loan, if he does go out on loan again, as good as the experience will have been, can we send him to a team that is in any way some good and creates some chances?
Yeah.
Because they did send him to the team that was just like, that. I think, I don't know how many goals he's got in the season, but it felt like about 20 in 46 games.
Hmm.
It will have been a lot more than that, but it felt like that. Because I know they had a couple of weird games where they scored four out of nowhere.
Is it Rotherham he was at?
Yeah.
Let's have a look. Goals for Rotherham. 41.
Yeah.
They scored. But bearing in mind, yeah, that's 20. So give or take half that for the time he was there.
Yeah. But they were poor side, but I still think it'll have done him more good than playing for the 21s.
Hmm.
That's another thing. It's not the priority at all, but I'd quite like us to be aggressive signing a few kids.
Yeah,
our 21s to me just doesn't look great at the minute.
No, I know it ultimately didn't lead to a whole lot. I suppose you got Pascal Strauch sort of out of it, but I wouldn't mind sort of casting the net out a bit again and sort of having that restock of sort of the 18s and the 21s. These aren't players that are going to move into the first team, but they will be good for the 21s.
Yeah. Well, obviously, Strauch has done brilliant there, but Somerville was one of them.
Hmm.
I know he hasn't played much, but Gellert was one of them. And like, even though that hasn't worked out even nearly as well as we thought, we paid £1 million for him and we're probably going to get 8 to 10.
I was thinking going further back and thinking of like your Temenushkov and...
Oh, yeah, that round.
Maybe not Wasim Boy, but...
No, that was different, because he was on a load of money as well.
Yeah. For quite a while.
The lad whose dad scored for Spain at Elland Road in 1996 in the Euros, whose name escapes me. Him.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it is weird to think that when you look at top around that time of where you've got Gellert, Bate, Hjelder, Greenwood. We were actively looking to strengthen the 21s. And I suppose you do it with a view of, look, if one in four of these moves into the first team, it's probably good business.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it didn't work out, but Drama as well.
Yeah, Drama was there. Darko JB.
Hmm.
Is he still ours?
He's ours. He's only on loan.
Because he doesn't want to keep
Same as Gellert. And there's still that voice in the back of my head that goes, nah, give Joffrey a chance, because I rate him that highly. But this, I know it's never going to happen, but that voice is never going to go away.
No, I mean, do we still own Matteo Joseph?
Yeah, but his leg fell off.
Yeah.
He was only on loan at Mallorca. He didn't score much. I think Mallorca went down. It was a higher level of the Harry Gray loan.
Yeah.
He went to a bad team, but wasn't. And to be fair, all the like proper all the nerds who know a lot more about football than I do, they all said it when he went there. Like, oh, that's not the best move in terms of a team to go to if you're a forward.
I think
he scored like two or three, and he got two or three assists. It wasn't much, but it was like an ACL. He's out for a while.
Yeah, I think the other one I keep forgetting about is and not that he'll make a comeback into this, but is Largy Ramazani.
Yeah, who I at the very least want to see in pre-season.
By the sounds of things, he's had a decent season.
Yeah, especially second half of the season. I mean, like, obviously Valencia nearly got relegated last season and then they got Corbran. And aren't they like 6th or 7th? Oh, they're 9th. They're slightly lower than I thought, but they've been good.
And yeah.
If we're selling Nonto, which I assume we are, if there's some great player out there that we can get, then great. But if not, I would be perfectly fine with Ramazani being in the squad. I think he's a good player.
And what about Isaac Schmidt?
I forgot Isaac Schmidt existed.
Do you mean like we did last season?
Yeah. I mean, hopefully he gets bought by wherever he is. Is he at Werder Bremen?
Yeah, he's with Max Werber.
Yeah.
I assume just standing next to him while he was on the treatment bed.
Yeah, I know Max Werber's barely played because he's been injured all season as well.
Yeah, I'm just trying to see. 19 appearances. Did get a goal this year in the Bundesliga.
Hey, although, that one goal he scored in the Championship where he just popped up in the middle at 6-yard box.
Yeah.
Striker's instinct. That was the game where we won 2-0 and it was him and Roden.
Yeah.
Weird game.
He did only play 676 minutes this season.
Yeah, not so,
no. So, yeah, he'll come back and go somewhere else, I imagine.
I mean, I know that they've got an option to buy it. I don't know. Let's say it's at 6 million. If they say we'll give you 2.5, just fucking take it at this point.
Yeah.
He's been here long enough that that will still be okay on the books.
Yeah. I think congratulations to the King, Joss, on his retirement as well.
Oh, yeah. Joshua Gilavogi has retired. Having, I don't believe, played for anyone this season.
No, so he has retired a champion.
Yep. He was exactly well liked. He was exactly what we needed. A backup who was great for the dressing room.
Yeah.
I'm always still surprised that he never got one late on in a game just by being massive. set piece. I always thought he'd nick one goal. But...
Well, it'd suit the profile to a T now.
Yeah.
If he could run, it'd be...
Yeah.
Well,
I suppose if he could run. Yeah, well, when he could run, he was a France international.
Yeah. But yeah, it's... yeah, I don't think there's a lot that, outside of European finals that I can't say I'm all that bothered about now, really.
No, I mean, I haven't had time to go through all of it, but just looking, we do have to check. We do have to wait for stuff because although none of us are Arsenal for the Champions League, there is one with PSG. And weirdly, I think that you all decided you didn't want to pick the English team for the Conference League.
I feel like I think picked Fiorentina.
No, you picked Anderlecht, but Danny, Alex and Connie all picked Fiorentina. However,
little did they know Jack Harrison was going to go there.
However, I had whichever one of Palace or Forest is in there. Because they hadn't made their mind up yet about the sanctions, about who was going to be which. Just at a glance, there is 10 points for both you and Connie for having Villa winning the Europa League. So, yeah.
They should have done it the other year as well.
Yeah.
Well, they got knocked out in the semis by... Was it Olympiakos or something?
Yeah, because Olympiakos won it. And they had that striker who's always looks good when I see him, you know, the once a year he pops up. I want to say... Oh, I can't remember where he's from. I'm going to have to look now because it's annoying me. It's El something.
Ayub El Kabi. Kabi?
Yeah, El Kabi, that's the one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll be honest, I didn't want to go back because I was about 90% sure he was Moroccan. But that wasn't quite enough sure. And just know that every time I watch him, he looks good. But I don't watch him. I haven't watched him nearly enough for that to be a valid opinion. So, yeah. as we are just going to have to wait, and I'm assuming fairly soon we will get some sort of retained list. And we can probably do another one after that. And then we'll do one at various points during the World Cup.
Yeah.
We'll talk. We'll do one if it happens with Leeds. We'll do one if it happens with England.
Yeah.
And we'll just see where we are. No idea on what the schedule will be. But yeah, hopefully we can get a couple of bits of business done early to whet the appetite a little bit. But I doubt that's going to happen.
Hmm.
So if we're to add, Casey? Oh yeah, I've got one thing to add actually that I meant to come back to. How the fuck has Bruno Fernandes got that assist? It's definitely an own goal. It's off the bar and out and into the fucking sand and in. It's an own goal.
It's for the socials, mate. It's for the socials.
It is. And also, De Bruyne did get 21 and they took one off him that was bullshit. But that, like, absolutely isn't an assist. That happens 3-4 times a season. It's an own goal every single time.
Yeah.
It's such bollocks. It doesn't really matter, but it annoyed me, like, way more than I thought it would. Because I didn't see it back until the next day. Just went, oh, fuck off. Rat-faced scum bastard.
Yeah.
God, I hate Bruno Fernandes way more than someone who is just a footballer probably deserves.
Just to steer into it, I'm going to call it a Premier League conspiracy.
Yeah.
Much like him getting the... I know it was the Football Writers Player of the Year.
Yeah, that's
but I think they were colluding to stop him from wanting to leave the Premier League.
On the subject of those awards, none of us got Premier League Player of the Year or Young Player of the Year. We had to go with the Premier League one, not the FA one, because the FA one they don't give out until like September.
Hmm.
So, because Bruno Fernandes won Premier League Player of the Year as well, and none of us had that. And for Young Player of the Year, it was Nico O'Reilly, and none of us had that. There's a couple of, like, me and Connie had Miles Lewis-Skelly, who didn't play that much. But the other ones are quite a long way off. Like, Alex had Ryan Cherky, which is the best shout. You had Destiny Adoghi.
Hmm.
Which...
Didn't work out.
He's been injured all season and they've been shy. Benny had Ethan Nwaneri, who has barely played and been at Marseille. And weirdly, despite not being shipped out anywhere, little Danny probably had the worst shout with Liam Delap. Who has been pretty awful.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that will do us for episode 366 of Mike Wright's podcast. We'll be back when we're back. I've no idea when. But in the meantime, I've been Jack Sear.
I mean, Casey, have a good one.
In a bit.